Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Rod Oram, lovely to hear from you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Let's talk a couple of things. Let's talk trade and let's talk Milky Bars. Firstly, let's talk trade wars. Is there one, an escalating trade war?
Yes, there is. It's still reasonably well short of a full-blown war, and so it's a very crucial time. And I think the key factor is here is how other countries respond. In other words, to find ways to respond to Trump other than a direct tit-for-tat.
This is the Trump instigated trade war.
Yes, absolutely. And his latest action was slapping tariffs of 50% on Turkish steel exports to the United States on the grounds that the Turkish lira was falling, therefore the steel was even cheaper. This is true, but the lira is falling because of serious economic and political problems in Turkey. And he only exacerbated that by putting a 50% tariff on, which is exceptionally high.
And Turkey have for a long time they've been an ally of the United States, haven't they? They've been a good, they're an important friend for the United States to have in that era.
Yes, a member of NATO, very important to have there in the Eastern Mediterranean and alongside the Middle East, and. But always a rather strained relationship. So yep. Turkey's gone through years of still inconclusive and rather fraught negotiations to try to become a member of the European Union, for example.
Yeah. So the very, very beginning of this trade war started because of what reason?
Trump has a very simple view of economics and the world, and he wanted to do something for the steel industry and the coal industry and the car industry. In other words, bring back lots of jobs there. So his preoccupation is he thinks trade is very unfair against the United States, and his solution to that is to slap tariffs on. So he started with, in a small way, just on solar panels and washing machines at the beginning of the year, but quickly got on to steel and aluminium, and those are the ones that are really starting to bite. There's been some response from the EU and Japan and Canada and Mexico, but Trump has always countered that with an even bigger raft of tariffs on more goods. So the range now is getting to be quite a sizable proportion of goods flowing between China and the United States, but also affecting very much trade between the NAFTA countries, Mexico and Canada and the United States, and obviously impact on the European Union too.
So where does it sit at the moment worldwide? I mean, is there any sort of common sense coming out of the United States at all? Are people going, hang on a second, whoa, maybe we did make a bad mistake there, and we'll adjust it for this and adjust it for that. Is that happening, or is that not a possibility?
No, and there's a deeper issue, is that Trump fundamentally doesn't believe in the international rules for trade. So he's very opposed to the World Trade Organization, which is the body that holds and applies those rules. And so he's got a stranglehold going on at the moment by refusing to allow the appointment of some new judges to the appellate body, the appeals body for the World Trade Organization. So they're now...
The refusal to, did you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So because of retirements and other attrition, they're now down to four judges. They need three as a minimum for a panel to hear a complaint from one country against another. And they'll probably get to three in September, i.e. next month. And then you'll obviously have the case where a judge from a particular country will have to step aside from being on a panel because he is in from one country or the other, or there is some link between them. So that's when the World Trade Organization appeals body locks up, stops doing business. So if a country then has a trade ruling brought against it...
So why is it that the President of the United States can be the one that refuses?
In all of these international organizations, the U.S., post-Second World War, has retained considerable powers. This is not equal membership. I don't know the particulars of the WTO. It might need that you had to have unanimous approval to appoint a new judge, but I can well believe the U.S. has a veto power, so therefore it's most likely exercising that.
So how bad can it get from here?
You can paint a very grim scenario where there is an escalation of, you know, one country to another, which really starts to have a huge impact on international trade. But the really important issue of that is that it's not just about imports of goods. It's about global supply chains, where not just raw materials, but components flow across borders. And that's an issue I explored in my newsroom column last weekend. Trump just doesn't understand the power of that. So he doesn't understand that BMW is now the its largest factory is actually in the United States, in South Carolina, not in Germany. And BMW is the largest exporter of U.S.-made cars.
Right, right. And but if he revs up the trade war any more, then that could change?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so what's really crucial now is that other countries find ways to respond to Trump, which will obviously still annoy him, might still push up tariffs some more, but trying to keep the global system running. Now, New Zealand has been chosen of one of 10 countries to work in a group at the WTO to try to work with the US on these issues. So we're playing an important role in that. And then other free trade agreements or bilateral trade agreements or the Trans-Pacific one when it comes into effect possibly late this year, early next. Those are all bodies where the members can still live by a rules-based free trade agreement and keep trade flowing that way, in which case the US would become more isolated in that global economic system.
Terrible, terrible situation. What's the best way of fixing it?
I was about to say a change of president, but I'm not quite sure where Vice President Trump stands, Vice President Pence stands on all this.
Or on anything.
Yeah, it's just really important to keep fighting for a system that has been very beneficial. Now, yes, of course, there are some people who have not benefited from that rise of global trade. But the job there is to make sure there are much better adjustment policies in countries and make trade even more equitable, rather than just trying to total the system, which is seems to be Trump's intention, to try and pull economic activity into the United States. But in doing that, he'll be diminishing the strength and vitality of the U.S. economy. So it's a very deeply counterproductive strategy that he's pursuing here.
We've got a whoppingly great, big, powerful corporation in this country called Fonterra, who are starting to feel a little bit like they might not be as watertight as everyone said they once were.
No, it's been, again, great upheaval there with John Wilson retiring a few weeks back because of ill health. And John Monaghan, his replacement, is turning into a more interesting chairman than I thought he might, in terms of a big announcement last week that the co-op would slightly reduce its payout to farmers for the season just ended and not pay a final dividend because it's worried about shoring up its balance sheet, so making sure it's got cash to pay down debt. Then the news yesterday was they've put on hold the search for a new chief executive. We knew that had been underway since May, and Theo Spearings is leaving the 1st of September. So rather than just press ahead with the appointment process, they've decided to have a rethink about strategy. And in the meantime, as interim CEO, Miles Hurrells have been appointed, who's a very capable 18-year veteran of the co-op, he was always on my short list of very plausible internal candidates for the CEO role. Maybe he'll end up at that point, but his important job now is to work with the board, work with management, work with farmers on strategy to get that sorted out, and a whole bunch of culture changes and systems changes to get Fonterra performing in a much better way.
Keep our dairy at the top of the heap, as it were.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Hey, Rod, thanks very much for talking to us. Always a pleasure. Speak to you again soon.
Thanks. Yeah. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.